Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. Looking at the calendar here, Jason, wow, two more days. It's going to be the 30th. Our Prime Life Times papers will be delivered here with our December edition. December is going to start on Saturday.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, morning program. Christmas Times are coming now, has launched.
Yeah.
We're interspersing a lot of Christmas music. 89.3 is about 60-40. Getting towards 80-20, and then it'll be 100% Christmas music soon. And WGNN has some of the moody selections of music, so some is Christmas, some is not. And then I'm filtering in as much Christmas music as I can. So we want you to have one of our four frequencies on your radio dial so we can be your radio home for Christmas music, God-honoring Christmas music, and the Great News Radio Children's Choir, two more rehearsals tomorrow and then next week, and then they sing at the Danville Mall, their debut with the Singing Men of GNN, and on Monday night, the Singing Men were working. Now, how are we doing Silent Night again? I said, well, some of it by the children, that's going to be our finale at the very end. They're going to do some of it in Mandarin, and some of the Singing Men say, well, we always do it in German, and so how are we going to do that? Maybe we can sing it in German and Mandarin at the same time. And I was like, well, I don't know if that'd be different. So we're still working out how it's all going to work, but we invite you all to put it on your calendar, December 8th at the Village Mall in Danville, right at noon. We're down from the AMC Theater, the middle of the mall. So we'll be giving a free concert at noon a week from this Saturday on the 8th. And then the 22nd, it'll be our 20th year in a row at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Wow. Also a Saturday at noon. And I'm working on shirts, little polo shirts for the Great
News
Radio.
Well, they certainly would be little polo shirts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to figure out what sizes, and they're like extra small, small, medium.
It's the problem you have is that, you know, a lot of those kids, that's like the range where, you know, they eat two meals and they're in a new size.
I know.
So
I was
might have to figure this one out. It might take some time.
I was figuring it was like Awana at your church where they
realize
you want to get a bigger size so it's the same for next year.
Yeah, but you don't want to get too big of a size because then they look like they look silly.
I know. So I'm trying to figure out, and we have a number of 7-year-olds, and, you know, that's tiny. I mean, extra small. And so we're trying to work that all through. And
good luck.
Yeah, I know. I know. So, oh, yeah, exciting times. Hey, I dodged two bullets this past weekend.
Two bullets?
In fact, I sent that in an email, and then I explained it to Holly to make sure she understood what that meant. She's back now. But I replaced or worked on two different toilets, and thank you, God, no leaks after it. One of the toilets on the upstairs. Jim Gunther, you know, who's Mr. Handyman, who's done everything.
He knows what he's doing.
He's never seen this toilet exits into the wall. Instead of, like, most 90% of all toilets, 95%, it all flushes down and it goes down.
Yeah.
This flushed into the wall.
And then goes down?
Yeah, well, it into the wall, and yeah, it must go down. But and when I took it off, I wanted to replace it. And so I pull, and I'm thinking, why do they have these two bolts, like, into the wall and then two into the floor? And I just thought, well, maybe just to really make it sturdy and solid into the wall so it doesn't tip over, which I can't imagine it tipping over. Anyways, I pull it all out, and I'm like, oh, what's it doing in the wall? The big circle where, you know, you put... Anyway, and so I was like, oh, no. And I had already purchased this deluxe toilet.
You know, let me just tell you. Okay. When you're putting a toilet into... When you're doing on a toilet and you go, oh, no, that's never good.
I know.
That's one time when you don't want to say, oh, no.
Well, and I had already taken the other toilet out, got it all ready, destroyed the box, you know, and I'm like... So I call Menards and I say, hey, can I return the
can
toilet?
Can I return a toilet?
And I said, do you have one that has, you know, the outflow into the wall? No, we don't carry any. I'm like, well, where do I get something like that? And I call Jim Gunther, or I text Jim, and he's like, oh, well, we researched it. You can get, there's only a couple available online. And so I was perplexed. Oh, no, this, anyways, You know, a toilet's a priority. You spend a lot of time on it, and I wanted a nice one. Hey, those of you...
I'm keeping real quiet right now, because I don't need to be...
So anyway, I finally put it all back into the wall, and then, you know, when you untighten something or, you know, then there's this little leak, and I'm like, oh, no. But then if you, when you open it up and you turn it really, really tight, anyways, no leaks there, and I thought, what am I going to do with this toilet? So then I went downstairs, and I thought, you know what?
The old toilet?
Well, yeah, with all the new one, because now I can't put it into the wall. So the downstairs toilet had a larger seat. My issue was the upstairs toilet was mainly just, it was too tiny. I was like, how's the guy sit on this little thing? So, anyways, I was like, I can't use this. It's not enough room. I like those elongated, bigger toilet seats. Anyway, so
anybody else out there right now kind of like,
everyone's like, turned us off.
Yeah, well, I don't think they turned it off, but they're just like, boy.
Yeah, is this the top? Is this the God-honoring top? Well, anyway, so I changed the
now
toilet
you know how to
seat
pray for him.
From the downstairs to the upstairs, and that went good, and it was an inch and a half more room. And then I put the new toilet
time do you spend
downstairs, and so then I got that one all set up, no leaks, and so then the old toilet went out into the garage, and well, I was trying to figure out, how do we get that picked up, or where do you take old toilets? Is there a place where
I just want to let you know that in this conversation I don't know. I have no idea how any of these things work that you're talking about.
Okay, well, no leaks, thank you God. Everything is working. I text Holly and David. I said, "Hey, no waiting. Full service here now. All the toilets are properly flush sheeted, working." And anyways, I did thank God a number of times because you get those little leaks. And then I text David. I said, you know, there's two things that wise men will say. Leave plumbing and electric to the experts. And I concurred. I said, I dodged the bullet. Next time we'll get the experts doing these things and working on them. But I don't know. Did you have some honeydew projects worked on this past weekend, the last few days, getting ready for the holidays? Well, maybe you're like me, and you'll think twice about who should do it and whether you have the skill sets
to
do it.
Really? It sounds like it.
All right. Well, exciting times here. It's good to have Mama Bear back home and Esther. I guess I can share this. I mean, I'm so thankful to God, and I text a couple of close friends about it. But my 9-and-a-half-year-old daughter asked Jesus into her heart. Mm. And I don't know if you saw the sinner's prayer that Holly got online and walked her through, but gosh, it covered everything. I mean, it's one of these sinner's prayers that helps you really understand what Jesus did on our behalf and what sin is and the separation from God and who Jesus Christ is, and that not only is he God in the flesh, but he rose from the dead, that he intercedes on our behalf. And the sinner's prayer just covers everything. I mean, it was a phenomenal one. And Holly said Esther was very contrite and recognized her sin and her separation from God. And it's kind of one of those moments that every parent desires and prays for. And I know a few years ago, Jacob was the same way. He got it. The scriptures made sense. However, the Holy Spirit was working in his hearts. And then he got baptized. And so now we're at the point where we're seeking out and thinking through when to have her come to that point of baptism and such. Yeah, so a very exciting time. It's a great Thanksgiving gift to the Burns family. And I'm sure many of you are praying for your children or some of your children maybe that have strayed later in life and asking God to continue to bring them, him or her, back or, you know, reveal himself maybe for the first time to your younger children or older children alike. So, yes, a lot of celebration, and it's good to have Esther back in the homestead. And they were gone for about 10 days to the Baton Rouge area visiting with David. So good to have them back. And,
anyways, you're all set now.
All is good, yeah.
And the toilets are working.
The toilets are working.
Thank goodness.
Oh, I'm telling you, that was a biggie. So, and speaking of tanks, Herb on Monday.
Did you just segue between the toilets to Herb? Toilet,
yeah, the tank.
Herb, we so apologize to you right now.
He worked on a nitrogen tank with me, so we replaced that at the Fisher Tower. Seems like we still have a link in our coax cable, and the next step is we've replaced the tank. We've replaced certain hoses, and so now it's somewhere somebody has to climb a tower. So, anyways, Herb, the radio servant, came through again, and Yeah, Jason's rubbing his head. It's all right. Hey, what's the Lord been doing in your life lately?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I don't know. Yeah. What's he been doing?
Yeah.
Oh, he's always doing something. He's always doing something, right?
Right.
You know, if we just have eyes to see, if we have our eyes open and we're watching, the Lord is always at work. He's sovereign. He's over everything. He's in everything. I think Colossians chapter 1 is great, where it says, you know, all things were made through him and for him. And so when we think about everything that we see, the Lord is in it. He's created it, and he's either redeeming it. He's either being glorified through it. And so, you know, I think that maybe we need to be more attentive to those kinds of things. I was thinking last night as I was reading in the Psalms, you know, David ends the Psalm, I believe it's 139. And he says, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. And I just thought, what a challenging prayer that is that may the things I think and feel and know be pleasing to the Lord. And I think the only way that that happens is when we are constantly looking for the Lord. And, you know, constantly looking and seeing. And what a great time of year to talk about something like that, right? Because what was Israel not doing at that first Christmas, during that first Advent? They weren't looking for him. They didn't even see him. They didn't even contemplate that he would come. And the Bible doesn't say it, but the Bible doesn't say anything about this. But I believe that there was probably this creeping kind of apathy that happened, you know, in that 400 to 600 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where there was no prophetic words that had been uttered. But listen, a lot of people love to say there was 400 to 600 years of silence. To clarify this, there was 400 to 600 years of prophetic silence, but the Lord was still speaking. The sun was still rising and the sun was still setting. The seasons were still changing. The flowers were still blooming. All creation was still, as Psalm 8 says, glorifying the Lord. You know, singing praises to him by the very act and action of everything that was happening around. So there was no less reason for anybody to believe that the Lord was speaking. Just that there was this absence of this prophetic voice. And so you had the first Advent, you had the first Christmas per se, the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, where Israel largely wasn't looking for him. You know, the Bible even goes to in Luke, goes to the extent to show us that there was two people who were doing it. And I think that if there was more, it might have said more, but there wasn't more. There was Simeon and there was Anna, who were going to the temple daily, praying and asking, you know, when will the consolation of Israel come? When will the Savior come? But largely, the world was not looking for Jesus, not looking for God. And so what a great time of year to be reminded of how important it is for us to look for God, to see God at work. And then in that, I think we have to pray a prayer very much like David, you know, that may the thoughts of our mind, may the words of our mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. And I think when we give ourselves over to God like that, we're actually contemplating him in every moment, with every thought, with every action, every word. And at the same time, because we're thinking about him, I think we're also seeing him at work.
You know, I think in order to do that, and one of the things I just wrote down was being intentional.
Yeah.
Being intentional, starting your day looking for him. It's not going to just happen. I mean, it can just happen. But if you're more intentional, and what are you watching? What are you spending your time investing in? Because that can kind of steer, you know, let no unwholesome talk. So, you know, what are your conversations filled with? What are you viewing? You know, are you being intentional to allow this to be an Advent season that's especially special because you're intentional trying to achieve that?
Well, just think, you know, we were talking and celebrating about Esther, you know, accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Christmas is why that happens. At Christmas time, it's this great reminder that God sent his son, John 3:16, you know, so that we would have this opportunity to salvation. For God so loved the world. In that world, the Greek word there, cosmos, means all of creation, everything. But you could easily take world and put a line there and put somebody's name in there. For God so loved that he sent his only begotten son, the whosoever could be another blank line. So it could say, for God so loved Esther that he sent his only begotten son so that Esther might believe, might have eternal life. And Christmas is this great reminder that God did in fact do that. Revelation chapter 7 tells us salvation belongs to the Lamb. And so this belongs to God, and so it gets defined by God. And so I think, you know, like you said, this is every parent's prayer. Well, it is every parent's prayer, but it's in God's timing.
Right.
And we have to be careful not to push that or not to pull it too much, because it is in God's timing. God knows. God loves Esther more than we love Esther. Mm-hmm. And so God knows the exact time when Esther's heart will be open to receive the gospel. And again, it's not just Esther, but it's anybody. But I think also in that, it requires that we begin to see things as God sees it.
Yeah.
I preached on Sunday on Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And it was interesting because I opened up my sermon, and it was kind of it was one of those openers where you're like, kind of hold your breath.
Hmm.
And so I said, you know, as I opened the sermon, I said, as we prepare to move into Advent, leading us to Christmas and the coming of Christ into the world, there isn't one of us that is not affected by God's great act of love. Every person on earth was ransomed by his blood. They are the reason that the Lamb was slain. How incredibly priceless that makes everybody. How very precious they are. We sing the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. And that's Revelation chapter 7 and verse 10. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. And so that means, friends, that you're precious, that your family is precious. Well, that also means that the mom who lost it yesterday because her kids wouldn't stop arguing is also precious. That means that the woman who sold herself into prostitution to make ends meet is precious. The person who looks different than us, whose beliefs are foreign to us, is precious in God's sight. The dad who took off and never met his children because he was scared and didn't know what it was going to mean to be a father, he's precious. The person who cut you off in traffic is precious. The doctor who performs abortions is precious. The person who traffics young children is precious. All of these different people, the blood of the Lamb was shed for. Now, are they going to accept that? Well, that's something that they and God are working out. But God died for everybody, not some of them. And so we have to look at that, because I don't know about everybody else, but my tendency, my human tendency, is to write people off when I think that they're just too sinful, or to write people off when I just think, oh, there's no way. And if all of us are honest, we probably at some point in time said that, maybe even just jokingly. Well, there's no way that they're getting into heaven. And yet God came skin on flesh so that everybody would have that invitation to come to heaven. Every single person. Now, what are they going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? What is everybody going to do with that? Well, we just know, we heard, we celebrated what Esther did with that. But what are you going to do with that? Because God says you're precious in his sight. All the little children of the world, the ones that don't look like you. I said this a number of weeks in a row now at church, and I keep saying it. He's the God of the redeemed and the God of those who yet still are going to be redeemed. Because if that's not true, then I don't know why we're praying for our children. He is the God of those who have been saved and those who will be saved. And that is good news, because he holds out his arm to us longer than we hold our arm out to others. And I love that. I love that. And I want to, one of my prayers is I want to see the world like God sees the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we soft pedal sin. This doesn't mean that we don't tell people the truth. This doesn't mean that we offer a soft gospel. We offer what God gave us to give. But we love those people. We walk alongside those people. You know, the only way that sinful people come to see the Savior is if God's people spend time with sinful people.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's not easy. I'm just going to tell you right now, because I have some sinful people in my life. And it's not easy to spend time with them, because you do hate the sin. I've had to say many times, I really hate that you're doing this. I love you, and I'm working on loving you in this, but I don't like what you're doing. And we have to make that distinction. I don't have to like what everybody does to love them. You know, and a great application for this, because I've been really thinking about this a lot, is my wife. My wife and I don't always get along, even though everybody thinks everything is wonderful and everything is perfect and everything is... We don't always get along. There are days when we probably say to each other, I don't like you very much right now. But even though I don't like what my wife is doing and I don't like the way that she's acting, I still go to work. I still provide for her. I still make sure she's safe. I still do all the things that show that I love her. Even though at that moment I don't really like what she's doing. And the same is probably true for all of us with our kids, right? Our kids are doing things we don't like what they're doing, but it doesn't mean that we still don't show affection and love to them. We still don't let them know that we love them deeply. Mm-hmm. I love in the Bible, I think it's Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, listen, the wind, the waves, all that stuff, it comes to the guy who built his house on the rock and the guy who built his house on the sand. Meaning that everything in the world, both good and bad, impacts both those who believe and those who don't believe. Now the difference is which thing stands, and God's very clear. His thing is the thing that stands. He is the solid rock. And if we believe that as the people of Christ, and as we near Christmas, where we come with right now an Advent and this expectation of hope, but Christmas, this welling up of joy because God has indeed sent His Son into the world, then we ought to be the people right now who, as we move through Advent and towards Christmas, we become more and more confident. We go, you know what? I have this confidence because on Christmas morning I get up and I can say hallelujah in a way that nobody, people who don't know Jesus, can't say, because I know. I have a confidence not in just today, but I have a confidence that stretches into eternity that is unshaken because of the work of Christ. And in that, I can say to people, I know whom I have believed upon, and I want you to believe too, brother. And I'm going to walk alongside you. Look, if we only walk with people towards belief when it's easy for us, we're not really trying to be invested in walking them towards belief, because Jesus walked alongside people who are a real pain in the butt. Paul walked alongside people who were a real pain in the butt. And you know what? Because he counted their faith and their salvation as more than his suffering.
And he also saw their value as God saw their value, and we oftentimes don't. We see the sin or whatever their affiliations are that we don't like, and then we just discount them. We're not loving them as God would.
You know, I was on a walk the other day. I go on these now, try and take these daily walks, and I'm walking, and I'm listening to something while I'm walking, and it was an interview with Larry Osborne. He has a church out in California. And during this interview, he was talking about servant leadership. And Larry Osborne's kind of a gruff. He just tells it like it is. He said, you want to know how you're being a servant leader? A servant leader is when you give more than you'll ever receive. And he said the problem with leadership is we think that we should receive as much as we give. And he says a servant leader gives more than he'll ever receive. Hmm. Which means I walk alongside people and I love them more than I'll probably receive back from them. But I do it because I want to walk them towards God's love. Hmm. And you know what? What a great gift it would be at this Christmas if you didn't say, you know what? I didn't get that TV I wanted. I didn't get that Xbox I wanted. I didn't get this thing that I wanted. I didn't get that thing I wanted. But my friend, whatever that name is, that would be in that blank line, came to know God's love. What a gift that would be, not just to yourself, but one that through your faithfulness and obedience you offer to God and say, thank you, Lord. You glorify God in that moment. For God so loved whoever is in that blank line for you, that he sent his only begotten Son, that when they believe, whoever that name is again, they'll have eternal life. They won't perish. What a gift.
Advent's upon us, recognizing God does love everyone and wants them all to come to know him. And you can be that bridge, that vehicle that God uses to entice them, to encourage them, to help them understand God's love.
Mm.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.